Irene's going to call the roll now.
Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Marla Tomsky.
Here.
Cheryl File.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Sandra Stevens.
Here.
All right. Okay. Let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. There's a flag right over there for those that don't know.
Good timing, Mr. V.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will make a motion to approve the September 13, 2016 agenda, if I could have a second.
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Any correspondence? No? Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Okay, comments from board members. Okay, moving on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? No. I'll just, for the public that is listening, we have our 2016-2017 extra duty contracts, which are quite long, for all the extra advisors and coaches for both middle school and high school, and also a few other, looks like that's what it is. Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Sandra Stevens?
Yes.
Cheryl File?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes. Motion passes 5-0. Now we'll move on to administrative reports, superintendent report. Do you want to? I guess they don't know you've got a one right
Can
there.
Can I stay here, Joe?
Yeah, you're
good. Okay.
Okay. So several things that are on actually the agenda itself and even down under other people's reports, I don't need to speak to them, so I will keep my notes short. I attended the CERC board meeting last week, Southeast Regional Resource Center, which is the agency that's based out of Juneau, and we contract our psych and speech and all kinds of different services, tech ops and various things, and every superintendent in Southeast Alaska is on the board. So I went to that meeting, and it was productive. I take off again next week to go to superintendent meeting in Palmer and Wasilla. Mm-hmm. So they move it around, I guess, so we get to go do that and find out all kinds of the latest and greatest information about testing and legislative happenings and all kinds of good things. So we'll stay tuned for more information about that next month. School year's off to a great start. We're in our third week already, and I'll let everybody else tell all the good juicy details about what's going on in the schools. We are up in enrollment, which is great. Overall in the district, up to about 476. Increase in the high school and increase in the elementary, and a little bit down in middle school, but we knew that. We lost a big eighth grade class moving up and had a smaller sixth grade come in, so that's good news. And kind of finalizing a few maintenance projects around the boiler installation is almost complete, so that's been a good project. And Dan is out of town right now, but he'll be at the next board meeting. And for that, we are still moving forward with our cafeteria project here in the middle school, high school, working on the floor in there, and hoping to get that up and running here this month. So get kids in there, and Miss Carly is pretty excited about that, so are the rest of us, and hoping to have that ready to go for not just lunches and breakfast, but also for concessions for activities. So we'll have a nice contained space that is a great place to eat, so we're looking forward to that. And I think that's where I'm going to leave it. I have lots of other information coming from everybody else, so thank you. Do you guys have any questions for me?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Next, principal's report. We'll start with Principal Tolan.
I love that. I love the schools.
Well, good evening. And yes, the school year is off to a good start.
Our in-service meetings were great. We had a good use of time, and the teachers appreciated the things that we had planned and the time that we gave them to get the rooms prepared. A focus this year has been getting more training for our paraprofessionals, and we were able to do that. And we have three new, and it was a good time to regroup and start the year out in a more systematic way. And so we were really happy with that. The schedule is an ongoing challenge, and need to thank the high school for being willing to work with us earlier in the year, actually last spring, to start on some of our scheduling, and it has trickled down, and teachers and everyone is feeling that we've been pretty prepared for this year, and the schedules have gone well. So thank you for that. Mrs. Adams, also known as Lisa Schrammick, is out on maternity leave, and we're happy to welcome Stephanie Powick in as the reading teacher, and she's off and running and doing a great job for us. We really appreciate her, and she spent many hours training with Lisa as well. Conferences were well attended. We appreciate families coming in and also registering on the PowerSchool site, the single sign-in, and it makes it easier for families with multiple students that they can look at the information all at one time, and also it helps get them used to looking for grades and balances on lunches, so it was a good thing. We appreciate people stopping in and doing that. We've also made an effort to help subs transition into the job more easily. We've had three subs in to our school already, kind of shadowing, volunteering their time to make it so that when they do step into the job, they have a better idea of what they're supposed to be doing. And they've all been very appreciative of that. And we have yoga for staff going on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's in conjunction with our mindfulness training that we had. That was very beneficial for those of us who went and were excited to find ways to bring that into the classroom to benefit students. Homework Busters is up and running. Students need to have a note this year if they need to leave early. So that's been kind of an ongoing battle, but we want to just make sure parents know that if they're leaving before 3:45, they'll need a note. Some of the clubs will start next week. Lego Club and Robotics on the 21st. We have a yearbook club starting up, and we'll have more information on that. Student Council is coming up here at the end of the, is it next week?
Elections will take place this Friday.
Okay, elections next Friday. So we're just full bore into this school year. We're starting our work furthering our work on science curriculum. And Picture Day is September 21st and 22nd, and we're asking families to get those packets back as soon as they can. Whether they want pictures or not, we need to have them back with a yes or a no on those. And just plunging ahead with beginning of year assessments, and feel like we're in a good place. And we're doing well, and we have a great staff and great kids, great families. So, any questions? Okay, thank you.
Good, thank you. Principal Dormer from Middle School High School.
I'm not standing on that thing. Hi, good evening. What's going on? Well, a lot getting set up. I think of most note in our heads right now is a middle school. Back to school night is tomorrow, so that's a fun night. We hope to see all middle school parents there. It'd be great, 6th through 8th grade parents, 6:30. We're going to start in the auditorium there, and Mr. Cabral and I will address the crowd and kind of talk about some of the highlights as things get going, and then we'll do it a little different this year, too, so parents have gone in the past. We're going to break and actually come here in the library and kind of do more of a meet and greet rather than we felt like parents are kind of getting spread out in the rooms wandering through the middle school. So we're going to do that tomorrow night, and that's exciting. And a great chance to talk about some of the new things going on in middle school. With that, too, just congratulations, as Principal Tolan said, there's so much going on that staff have really done to make things happen. The first one is this, you know, middle school with their new laptops, and the teachers have really done a nice job, as well as the aides getting a nice schedule, and thanks, of course, to John and Caleb to get that going so that these kids are They're going to PE, and then they've got to check in. They're picking them up, and they're checking them in, and then they're dropping the end of the day. So it's a pretty cool schedule, and the staff work pretty hard to make something really brand new work. And with the organization getting, you know, 95 or some laptops pretty much all picked up at the same time and all dropped off at the same time, and that's kind of tricky. So they've done a good job with that, and it's been going very smoothly, which has been great. I've actually seen a lot of kids kind of hugging them like their little baby doll or something, like, please don't let anything happen to it. So I really appreciate the caution that the kids are using, because they're expensive and they're nice. Also, in the middle school, been doing a great job. They've gotten with some of these testing where we're trying to get some baselines for middle school. That's been a goal for the district, so I really appreciate what they're doing there. It's just, you know, elementary has a lot of these kind of small tests where they can get a look at where kids are at, and it's something the middle school does a little bit, and the high school does very poorly, just mainly because of what's out there. So it's been neat. Middle school's started already with a little bit of some reading tests, and they're adding some more, and then we're fighting starting with the math test this year. So that's exciting, just to get a feel of where our kids' levels are. These are short, quick blurb tests. They're not, you know, two-hour type of high stakes, but it's nice because that has been a goal, and I really appreciate, again, teachers working together to get that going. So that's been good. It's been a nice change. It's coming along slowly. Similar to the elementary school, both middle and high school have their governments getting set up this week. So Friday morning at 8:15 will be the middle school ASB speeches, and then Tuesday morning at 9:30 will be the high school. And the way they do in high school is kind of different, where they have people that run for the top five executives, you know, president, sergeant arms, and treasurers and such. And then we just vote them out, and we just take the top five and then kind of let them sort out the positions. That's kind of a newer way we started doing it, because we were having some amazing students run for, let's say, vice president, and one of them would win, naturally one of them would lose that could have also been a great leader on the team. So we've been doing this. We just started last year, so we'll be doing that this. It'll be next week for speeches and elections, and then there's some other things. You know, we're waiting for a school board rep over here, so that will happen also. Thanks, Irene, for keep bugging me about it. So that's coming soon. Picture days are happening. High school kids got their pictures today, a couple tomorrow. So if they miss that, that is always a challenge, just getting that information out to high school kids and parents, because it's a big day for kids. But I think just communication in the high school, getting it home and getting the picture packet back in, is somewhat challenging. So anytime, and they can get the pictures taken and can pay later to pick them up, all that kind of stuff, it's going to work out. So that's great. And the middle school picture day is tomorrow, so, and as well as make up high school. So that's moving along. We had some great laptop rollout nights right in this room, so thanks again to John and Caleb and the great Mac Tech team. That continues to just get to be a better and better program, and I really think the presentation gets a little bit shorter and gets a little bit more concise and really hits the things that I think parents and kids need to hit. You know, we're starting out brand new. It was a long presentation. We're trying to do everything, and John and the crew just continue to hone it down. It's great. Parents were great, and probably one of the smoothest ones we've had so far. So that was that's such a huge production. You think about it, and the hours and hours that went into that all summer. So it's when it just happens and everyone gets out of here happy with a laptop, it's easy to overlook all the time that went in before that. So it's nice to bring that up. Also, with registration, very smooth, and as Principal Tolan said, we kind of changed a little bit with that online power school. We appreciate parents coming in being patient, but a lot of time also went into that. When you talk about Carly and Marcia in the high school office and Charlie Roden in the middle school, and again, a lot of time went into that to get everybody registered, and we take it for granted, but there was a lot that went into that to kind of make this change. So we appreciate that and everybody getting through with that. A lot of man training going on, and that continues with the technical training. I appreciate Cindy Fry and Heather Kahn that does some of that work to make us. That's a great program, and we really think that is important. And also just let the board know that it's a neat thing that's going on. The athletic directors are meeting in a couple weeks for the region cross country. They meet about three times a year, and this year I'm going to get to go, and the athletic directors really kind of pushed it. It's been on my goals, Region 5, to try to get the principals. Haven't gotten together in 20 years, I think. 21 years was the last time, which the superintendents do a good job of meeting. I didn't mean that as a knock that you guys meet a lot, just you guys do meet and communicate. I don't know what that means, but you do, and the athletic directors do three times a year, which is great, and the principals never, ever, ever, ever meet, and we all live on these islands, and so it's been a goal and something we've talked about, and I know Jamie kind of pushed it, and the AD said, come along, so it'll be cool. This, in a couple weeks, we're going to Sitka, and we know not everyone can make it, but we're really trying to make a push, and a lot of principals have already just expressed the gratitude at trying to get us together and talk about what's going on in our lives. It's just so difficult here on the island, so that'll be cool. That's just in a couple weeks. Lots of other things going on and activities will come up here soon, but any questions for me? Okay, thank you.
No. I was tempted, though. I was tempted. Might be taller than Rick there if I stand on that. Yes, good evening. Busy year. We have started already. I think cross country has been going for almost a month and a half already. Their season started July 27th. So If you were not part of our home cross-country meet, it was a beautiful Saturday. 198 total runners in town, so that was really, really awesome. Super fun. Real fun. It was great. A lot. Thank you to all the volunteers too, and it was amazing to have that. What a great race that was. But our numbers of participation are up tremendously. Our cross country team is about 21 runners. Swim and dive is at about 17, and preliminary estimate on volleyball, which starts tomorrow, is about 36. Wrestling will probably be about the high teens, 25, 23, around there. Yeah. So our numbers are. A lot of kids participating, which is great, around the place and staying busy. So we are off through full throttle. Our middle school programs will be getting started here September 28th. So at one point, I think we'll have about 8-9 activities rolling all at once. And so between our high school and the middle school. So we'll keep them entertained, that's for sure. I just got back about, 2 weeks ago from a classification meeting. ESAA flew me up to Anchorage. We got all of our region people together and had a good conversation about new classifications for schools, and we're still in the preliminary stage of what we're going to do as far as where we'd be classified. If we stayed with our policy right now in 2018-19, we would have to move back to 3A, it's looking like, on our enrollment numbers. So it'll be interesting where we fall, what we do with the numbers, all that, but still kind of in discussion points and all of that stuff. So that's where we are with that. And then we just had our first coaches meeting of the year at 6:15 in the morning. 6:15 in the morning, we got them up, had a good turnout. Then we talked about activities here at Petersburg Schools and what it looks like, and the coaches, which will probably come later, but really want to revisit the sixth grade travel board policy that we have in place, and would like to revisit that. And so I think we'll do that in the future here shortly, since it's not on our agenda. But the whole reasoning behind that piece is that our enrollment has dropped so low that what we end up seeing is that if our sixth graders can't travel, we drop an entire team. So there's other seventh and eighth graders that don't get to play if we have an A and a B team that are traveling, and B team would probably not get as much playing time as if we had more sixth graders to travel. They would get more playing time there too, just because of our enrollment numbers. It'll be interesting with middle school numbers just to see, because we are under 100 in the middle school right now. Joe Vignicki is coaching our middle school cross country team, and 17 runners out there right now, and we are going to host our very first middle school cross country meet along with Beat the Odds. And so we're going to do it that weekend, and we're going to give it a shot. And we got people that did the timing and everything with our high school meet, and they want to do it again because they had a blast with it. So October, Ketchikan right now is coming. About 40 runners they're going to bring up. So they want to come up here really bad because they don't get to travel because they always host. And so they want someone else to host, and they've been begging for the last 2 years, I think, now. So it'll be awesome. We're going to give it a shot, and I think it'll be fine. Kind of nice for our parents to see our kids run because they've never seen a middle school cross-country meet here in town. So it'll be good, and they want to reciprocate to us because we always go down there. So they want to make sure they get up here too. So it'll be fun. About 47 eighth graders from Schoenbar Middle School coming up to run with our kids, and hopefully we get some others from different places. So thanks to Beat the Odds too for letting us work around that date too. So I think the Beat the Odds is going to run first, and then we're going to run second. So it's a mile shorter than the high school, so that's good because that's a lot more than I can run with those kids too. So we're going to do that one. And then, like Rick Dormer was saying, our first AD meeting is coming up in September with the region cross-country meet. And it's been, 21 years, I think, the last time. It used to be back in the day, kind of finding out the history, that the principals used to meet as well because they don't have that opportunity of getting together. And they deal with so many Southeast issues that it's nice to have them all together. And we've had such a huge turnover in principals, I think, in Southeast, and learning different policies and good way to get together and meet. And last year we had 16 new activity directors in the region, so out of 21 schools. So if you can imagine the turnover rate in that one. And already we've got another turnover rate again this year. So it's we're going to do a three-hour training for the principals, ADs combined, with ASAA and myself running that training first day that we get together, that giving the principals some time to meet. And then we're going to hit our strategic planning, and we've got our 4 points that we're going to focus on for the next 3 to 5 years. Janelle Vanessi. She's the superintendent now at Mount Edgecombe High School, came from Bethel. She's going to help us a little bit with our strategic planning for our region. And our four topics that we're really going to be focusing on is officials in the region, region finances, continuity on our board, and district finances and days out of school, how we can make that work better for every single school in Southeast Alaska, because a lot of the up north schools have no idea what we go through for travel and budgets and everything, besides Region 1, which is like the little villages up north who plan everything, because one trip for cross country costs them like $25,000 or something like that. So it's they get it. One in five get it, and everyone else is on the road system, so a lot different for them. So those are the four topics we're going to be working on for the next 3 to 4 to 5 years with our strategic planning, just to give you guys an update of what we're doing at our meetings. So it's busy. Lots of meeting time. So that's about it for me. Questions?
How did the parent nights with activities go? Wasn't it new this year?
It was new. The first night was early for the swimming and cross-country kids. We had about 25 max. The second night, over 100. It was packed in here. It was bleeding out the door, just people. And then the last night was about 45 to 50. And so it was great as far as collecting paperwork. So much easier. We're not hounding the kids. And with our new forms, I think some of the parents are really, really happy that they don't have to fill the same form out 100 times throughout the school year. But it was really good. Good conversation and a lot more information provided to the parents, and a good time for me to talk activities and how it works, especially at the high school level. But I don't know if anyone went there, if you guys had input. Cheryl was there too, so I think it was nice to knock out the paperwork all at one time. And that way they're not taking it home stuffed on the bottom of the bag, and then they lose it, and then they take the 7th copy home. And so as soon as they're done filling it out, they leave it here. They don't take it home, and I just turn it into Marcia and Carly. So it went really, really good, though. I don't know if you guys had input, parents that were there.
I thought it was great. I think it needs to be in the auditorium.
I think so.
Yeah.
It was.
That's good.
I mean, I think you came on the busy night. Yeah. Yeah. And they show up because they want to make sure that their kid can participate in activities. So
<That's good.
laughs> it was packed. So we're keeping track of who shows up, which parent shows up, and making sure that they all watch the video, go through the whole training piece. And the first one was about 52 minutes, and then the last one was like right on 45. So it's getting faster and faster once I go through. So kind of warn them it's going to be 3 hours before we start. But they all, they know I'm lying on that one. So, but they went good. I think it's a good step.
Yep.
Good step in the right direction with all that stuff. Almost thinking maybe we do something for the middle school, just to give them an idea, because that's a lot of new information too. So just a one-time, or maybe doing it with our back to middle school night is typically where I've done it. And so, but it went good. I liked it. I was very happy. And so were the ladies in the office. Were very happy with paper collection. So, Nothing else? Okay.
No.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Director of Finance. Very quickly.
Sorry, I can't step on this thing.
Come on,
I don't have too much to share with you guys, but I do want to provide an update on education funding. And Erica, please chime in if I'm incorrect or if you want to add anything. This is on the legislative level. So back in June, $12.7 million of education funding was cut by Governor Walker. And for Petersburg, that represents approximately $31,000 from our foundation funding and $16,000 from our pupil transportation. So this cut was split between two different areas of education funding. Last week, part of that veto was repealed based on a technicality in the language. And the part that was repealed was the part that's the foundation portion of that. And those funds are going to be reinstated. However, they're most likely going to be prorated. In conversations with our foundation expert up at the state, Mindy Lobaugh, basically what she says is the $5,930 per base student allocation, that statute, so that actually hasn't changed. What has changed is the appropriation. And so if appropriation is low, funds are then prorated. So what this ultimately means is that if we have a higher student count than what we had anticipated, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be more funding. I know. In past years, there'd be a supplemental budget appropriation, but given this year, we're not really sure what's going to happen. So it's great that we can anticipate some more funds, but we don't really know what that's going to look like. So did I get
accurate.
It?
That's
okay.
That's how they explained it to us last week, too. So.
Okay.
And it's new.
It is new. Recently. Friday was when I got the information, so received the information. So that's really all I have to share with you.
But it's some positive news.
But I would entertain questions if you have any. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
And then Director of Maintenance, Dan Tate, he's
on vacation.
Okay, so we'll get a report next month.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Okay, next we have our committee reports, which school has just kind of gotten underway, so I'm not sure what we really are with much. Curriculum, I think they're probably going to be starting soon, but after the election we can also shuffle committees if people have a strong interest in one versus the other, but I think this year is health, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is on the agenda for reviewing since it's been
health
6 years.
Health, PE, health and foreign language, right?
Health, PE, and foreign language, okay. And then technology, we haven't met. Wouldn't be anything yet.
Nothing new there yet.
Yeah. Okay. Crisis and policy, Cheryl?
Nope.
Probably nothing.
We will, can I speak mm-hmm. a little bit to the crisis, though? We did have an organizational meeting last September, towards the end of September, and I do want to do that again, where we had everybody come. It's actually part of that crisis response team. So Cheryl's on there. We have the various emergency personnel. We have from radio and hospital. You know, we just gather everybody once a year. We used to do that years ago, and it was helpful. We kind of re-upped phone numbers, contacts. Do people still want to be on there? Is there new information from search and rescue or from the police department or EMTs? You know, just kind of a regrouping.
Okay.
So we will schedule that maybe in September, beginning of October.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's his name leave?
Marcus has moved. Yeah. He said he'll still be available if we need, kind of any contracting or whatever. But really, our overall planning work with him is
good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway.
I don't want to necessarily volunteer her, but I know that Chandra Thornburg, the new Parks and Rec director, has an interest in crisis planning, and so she might be a good member to...
Yep, we have had Parks and Rec people on there in the past, so I will check with her, too. Thank you. That'd be great.
Policy committee, I think you guys are probably going to try and...
We've got several up and ready to go.
Yeah, it might be one of those things... consider maybe after the election and see who would like to, if there's any shuffling on the policy committee, because it's really not that, election's not that far away, so unless you want to meet before that, that's fine too.
I guess we could talk.
Yeah, we'll figure
it out.
See what
that's
a long, I mean, then we wouldn't meet until November.
Right.
And that's kind of
all, that's
we need
a long
to,
time.
We,
yeah.
we need
okay.
to get some stuff done.
There's a few on the agenda there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wellness and facilities day.
I have not any meetings with that yet.
Okay.
And legislative, probably. It's kind of.
Karen shared the news.
The good news.
The legislative news.
Okay. Yeah, it's still kind of early for us to. I'm sure we'll all have more to share as the school year progresses, too. Okay. Any special recognitions?
I don't think we have anything else to add that's new since August.
Teachers, staff, other staff, students?
Nope.
Any award? Okay.
Well, I think our Rotary Exchange student arrived. I guess that's probably happened since the board meeting, but he's here.
Where's he from?
Finland.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
From a very, very, very small, fairly remote village of Finland.
So he came to remote Alaska.
Yeah.
It's a big time.
To a Norwegian town. That should be fun. Okay. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements. There will be a facility closure. Probably have seen that around town. For the community gym and pool because of the Parks and Recreation Conference, although I guess they have some modified hours on the 17th and 18th, but that'll be September 12th through the 22nd. already on to the next. Oh no, that was today. Sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm reading our today's stuff. As we heard earlier, the school pictures for high school was today, but also makeup tomorrow if they weren't able to get their pictures done today. And then middle school is tomorrow. And then tomorrow night also middle school back to school night, which starts at 6:30. September 21st, 22nd is the elementary school picture day. And then we're into our next meeting already into October. Campus Connections on the 11th. Who can break away and do that? I can. Crickets.
Hold on. Is that Thursday?
It is. It's always a Tuesday.
On the same day of the board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun, right, Joe?
I will be there. I will be there.
Okay.
I was going to say, I don't have anything.
Because I should have lunches
something
between
weird
12
happens,
and 1.
I'll call you for me. Okay.
You have
sure.
to
I don't have
me.
To do it.
Okay. I'll put it down right now.
Thank you.
Okay. And our next regular board meeting will be the 11th of October.
Do you want to do agenda setting?
Oh, we don't have it on there, do we? We don't have agenda setting. Let's do the agenda the week before, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would be 1st of October.
That would be like on the 3rd.
Yeah.
Is that a Monday or a Friday?
Mm-hmm, Monday the 3rd, if that works for someone.
In the morning or what's best? I mean, it kind of
afternoon or or Tuesday morning works good too for me.
If Monday that, afternoon?
Yeah, we could
do
that.
If I do it, I probably do it between 12 and 1 and after 5 o'clock.
Between 12 and 1 or after 5?
On Monday?
Any day.
Oh, any day? Okay. Yeah, either.
Probably same for Jay, too, except for Friday.
I'd rather do it during the day if that's all right, instead of dragging it into the evening for you, too. So 12 to 1 on Monday, if you want to do it Monday or Tuesday.
Okay, that's fine.
Let's do it Tuesday. Can I do it Tuesday?
Tuesday?
Yeah. Is that all right?
The 4th.
Is that okay?
Okay.
That's election day.
Yeah. Oh, well, then you'll be up to vote. After we're done, run over and vote.
Okay.
October 4th, Election Day. We'll cover that earlier. We'll talk about the school board and its election.
That's right.
Is that at noon, did you say?
Noon,
sorry, yeah. Okay, old business. On to board policies at our second reading. I'll make a motion to approve the... I'm going to read them. Oh, no, we have to... to our public hearing, don't we? Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to recess to a public hearing on board policy 4222, teacher aides and paraprofessionals, board policy 4231, classified staff development, board policy 5127, graduation ceremonies and activities, board policy 5128, Alaska Performance Scholarship Programs, BP 5141.3, health examinations, BP 5141.4, child abuse and neglect, BP 5141.52, suicide prevention, BP 6114, crisis response plan, and BP 6142.2, AIDS instruction. So I'll recess to a public hearing if anybody has anything they would like to say regarding those policies. Hearing nobody interested in talking about them, I'll call the meeting back to order, and I'll make a motion to approve the listed board policies at second reading. Could I have a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion?
I wasn't here during the first reading. Are they generally updates, or is this any of these created by our policy committee? Or?
No, these are just updates sent by the EASB.
Okay, like language and...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty straightforward, but still necessary to keep them updated. They're, none of them are new, as I recall. They're all amendment, basically corrections or amendments to existing policies we already had.
Yep.
But we still have to approve them or, you know, consider them. Okay. Any other discussion? No? Okay. Can I go ahead and call the roll?
Mara Lutomski?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Sandra Stevens?
Still there?
Sandra, are you still there?
still lost her.
Sorry, I had a mute. Yes.
Okay. Michelle Fire.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Next on to new business. All school districts operating under the National School Lunch Program guidelines must have a policy addressing unpaid lunch equity. Food Service Director Curly Johnson will present and be available to answer our questions.
You do have information
Curly.
As
yes.
well.
Yes.
Hello. So,
let's do this.
Sandra over there. Yeah.
I'm moving you, Sandra, to the podium so you can hear Curly better.
This is a USDA policy. There's a USDA policy memo in your. There's actually two USDA policy memos in your little packet that you got. Basically, it's addressing unpaid lunch meals equity, which is any of the meals that are charged at full rate or reduced rate. That we need to have a policy about the charges, and then we also have to have a policy for collections. So. This has been an ongoing issue with our district. It's been an ongoing issue in the whole nation. So we're not really alone in that aspect. What we have done in the little handout that you have, we show how you can make payments for school meals. There's the PowerSchool option. You can go in there. You can check your balances. With a single sign-on now, anybody can look at what their kids' balances. You can also see if your kids eaten that day. You can see if they've had breakfast that day. So it's kind of great to know, well, my kid shouldn't have eaten. Why is he eating? Or, you know, double checks, stuff like that. There's also you can pay with cash in the lunch line, or you can pay at any of the offices. We also take credit card now. You can pay it via PowerSchool, or you can pay it at any of the offices with our. We have this nice little credit card authorization form now, so you can actually have your credit card ran and we can run your credit card. Actually, it's very nice and easy to use. And then we process that. Either Adrian processes it or I process that. We also take checks. You can mail checks. I have a fly flying on me. You can mail checks. You can drop them off. So we have multiple avenues of accepting payments. And we really want to work with parents, work with people. We do not have anything written down in stone. We must have a policy in effect as of July 1, 2017. So that is one of those things, you know, we have to go through multiple readings, have all of our...
It'll be on the policy committee list.
On the list, have everybody's buy-in. What we included in your packet was... how many meals we've actually served. So this is last year's calendar year, starting from September to August for the end of the summer food program. So we served 55,287 meals. So that includes breakfast, lunch, after-school meals, and summer food programs. So we do have a pretty high volume of meals that go through here. The at-risk youth program and the summer food meals program are actually free of charge meals. Which leads me into those meals are based on our free and reduced percentage. Currently, we are at 50% free and reduced. As of this year, with our increased student body, we are only sitting at 47%. If we do not get to the 50%, we lose both of those programs. We also lose the fresh fruits and vegetable program in the elementary. So, if you know of anybody who encourage people to apply for the free and reduced program. It's completely a completely confidential program. Nobody looks at their information other than I look at it, and then we have one person that's a backup person. But nobody actually can get into the system other than me. It's a state system, so it's all completely confidential, and it's actually not housed in our district either. There's also the migrant program, the migrant education program for those families that are fishing. We have noticed some families that are close to that cutoff with the larger dividends, they have kind of been bumped up over that eligibility. So that's kind of the downside of the larger dividends. But I encourage anybody to apply, even if you don't think you would qualify, it's better to apply for that because we get multiple programs. Erica can mm-hmm. prelude into those programs.
Yeah, we've talked about a lot. You've mentioned this, a few of the ones related to food service in general, but it also applies to other grants that we write, and it applies to other federal programs that we use to serve students for Title I reading support. It's based, the funding is based completely on free and reduced numbers. I mean, just beyond the issue that we want to make sure that we are getting any of our students access that they need to good food. I mean, that's the first priority, but then there are other there are the benefits to having that number be where it is. So we're really trying to encourage people to fill it out if they need help or they're wondering about it or they don't, you know, it's online, there's paper copies. Carly will help walk you through it if you don't, if you feel kind of overwhelmed, but it's not a difficult form.
It's not a difficult, we actually included the form in the packet with you that is the form that's the easiest form to use. It's kind of, you know, simple, but if you have questions, I'm more than willing to help. I've answered social media questions, I've answered my cell phone, I've answered emails. We're here to help people fill these out and understand it. It's great to see students eating meals here and participating. It's also great to have that at-risk youth program available and the summer feeding program. Yeah. We really have noticed an increase in participation in the summer food programs with those families that are at need. And so it'd be really, really great to continue those programs. And it relies heavily on that free and reduced rate.
Well, and the other thing we're doing, I don't know if Terry wants to mention this too, but we are trying to do a little more outreach, even though there's these other avenues that parents can access their kids' information about charges or that sort of thing. We're also trying to do a little bit more communication from the school. Like if kids are kind of getting upwards of maybe $5 or $6, you know, or $20, or you know, before it gets to be $50 or $100 or something like that, trying to do a little bit more communicating with parents directly and just saying, you know, Billy's been charging lunch all week, just want to check in, and, you know, and well, why is he charging? I sent him lunch. And, I mean, it's the, you know, it happens. It just happens. And I say it's Carly's fault, right, because they smell chicken teriyaki, and they want chicken teriyaki, and they don't, that's what it is, you know, or whatever. I mean, they want to eat salad that day, which is great. I'm saying that's a good thing. But then, you know, mom and dad are thinking, I sent them with a lunch, and I don't understand why I owe $20. Well, it happens, and we don't deny kids food here. So, and I don't think we should deny kids food. So anyway, but then we get into this kind of financial discussion. So,
yes.
Anyway, we're trying to do a little bit more outreach, I think, in the schools, too, as we're working through this policy process. So we're going to be looking for interested parents and that sort of thing to be kind of help work through this policy.
So the policy will address when we have to cut them off, if there'll be an alternate meal, if how we're going to handle collections. Currently, we like to send out letters. Adrian and I are getting doing more of a streamlined process, trying to send it out. Try to do it once a month or so, and then just trying to really clearly define what we will and won't accept. If you look into your packet, you can see these are balances from the previous year. You'll see we do not have students' names in there. It's going to be a little Excel spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, some of them are very high balances, and at what point do we, you know, not feed them or feed them mm-hmm. or figure it out? So it does become a financial burden on our program because we do operate on a reimbursement from the federal government. So a lot of those meals, we try to.
Yeah. And it's over $4,000 for people listening
yep.
to understand that we're, that's owed to the school district for meals that were given at this point.
Yeah.
Can I chime in too mm-hmm. a little bit? So just to give everybody an idea.
For Sandra. Just
sure.
sorry. Just
it's
for
okay.
Sandra so she can hear.
This is Karen. Just to give you guys an idea of what we bring in for revenue, for last school year of fiscal 16, for our revenue we brought in $268,000. And of that, approximately 14%, $38,000 is in local cash, people coming through the line and paying cash or credit card. It's only 14% of all of our revenues. The food, the NSL, National School Lunch Program, it costs the school district $300,000, so we're always transferring some funds from the general fund into the program. That's normal. I mean, we actually, our trend right now is we're transferring less money from the general fund because Carly's done such a great job on making the program so much more efficient. In fiscal 14, we transferred $60,000 from the general fund into the food service program. And in fiscal 15, we transferred $53,000 from the general fund into the food service program. And in fiscal 16, so the school year we just had, only $32,000.
Wow.
Yep, so
significant.
Really increased efficiencies. And last year our lunch, to give you an idea, like I said, last year was $268,000 in our revenue. Fiscal 15, $211,000 was our revenue. Wow. And in fiscal 14, $216,000. So we're seeing a trend in the increase in meal services, but mm-hmm. you knew that, you've presented that information, but we're also seeing increased efficiencies. Mm-hmm. So,
kudos to you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Very impressive.
So yeah, so does anybody have any questions for me?
Who wants to volunteer for that committee?
Yeah, who wants to volunteer for that committee? It's really fun. You get to hang out with me.
I think
Cheryl.
I'm super fun.
That's true.
I do just have a question about when applications, isn't there a certain time when they do their check as to how many people we have? So, like, when is the possibility that we might lose
October,
any sort of...
October 1. Is that all free and reduced percentages are based off of October 1 stats.
Okay.
So we have to have all applications in as of October 1. Now, anybody can apply at any time, or if their finances change throughout the year, they can reapply. But October 1 is our mark for any of the grants or any of the
that's where we get
programs.
The percentage for.
And then the second one is April 15th.
So there's an opportunity to gain it back?
Well, no, the April 15th is for community eligibility provision. So that's...
For the summer stuff? Or
it's kind of, but so it's based on another federal thing.
October 1 is the bigger date for us.
Yes.
That's why we... Well, and we want to have kids enrolled if they can be early anyway, because we want them to...
Yes.
Yes. And then also reminding people that even if they have qualified in the past...
They have to reapply.
They still need to reapply. That's something that I think people still are a little bit confused about. So just to remind people of that.
Every year you have to reapply. You go back to your to full paid status if you have not reapplied as of the last day of September. So when October 1 hits, all those that used to be free or reduced will be counted as full paid. So even if they apply October 2nd, we still can't claim them. So it's really big. I've really tried to push this year to get applications early, get it out there, get out notifications. We sat down at the coffee shop trying to get some more people, and we want to push for migrant education. You know, if people go out and fish for the family for needs and stuff like that, it's great to have that program. And that's one of the benefits is they do qualify for free lunches and some other benefits of migrant education.
So just for people listening on the radio, it's a one-page application, looks pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you forecast your income, it looks like. You don't have to submit tax returns.
You don't have to. So
returns.
Basically how that works is you put what your monthly income is, your average monthly income is. And then as of October 15th, I pull a percentage of applicants for verification.
And it's for all ages, kindergarten to senior in high school. So,
and there's also the online applications, which process really fast.
Mm-hmm. And
so.
We put those out on Facebook, on all the school district and school
mm-hmm.
sites, and bulletins, offices.
Yes.
So
even if you prefer not to partake in school meals, it's still beneficial to apply.
That's another important message.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Because it counts for the percentage, so.
Okay.
And our B rate is funded based on this,
mm-hmm.
these numbers.
Yep. Our technology support, federal funding for that too. So, it's important. It's
all
a big
connected.
Deal.
It's all connected. Okay, fun stuff. Okay.
So now the info is really out there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carly.
And I'll put a plug in for that PowerSchool app on for your smartphone, because I had a balance, or my son had a balance, and it was pretty easy to load onto my phone and then just pay. And then now you can just check it.
And oh, there's a PowerSchool app?
Yes, it's very fun.
And they can always stop.
No, it just makes it easy. Yeah.
As well, and we'll help. We can help people show them how to do the single sign-on. Once the information's in there once, it saves it. So it's really great.
Well, anybody in any offices can help people do that too. So
stop in if you have a question.
We will help you.
Moving on to new business 12.2. House Bill 156 requires that instructors and the curriculum, literature and materials for the course must be approved for sex education. Peterborough School District staff and administrators are going to present this information and will be available to answer any questions here tonight. We had a work session last night where the staff that would be teaching this year, this current school year, gave the school board the curriculum that they've been using in the past and kind of went over everything. It was almost 2 hours worth of information. I feel like we came away with a real clear understanding what is being taught in that particular unit for 3 to 4 days out of the entire school year. That's what the House Bill is requiring us to approve. Is not the actual health curriculum, but a lesson within that. So I just want to be clear that today if you're listening. So I will make a motion to approve the curriculum resources and teaching staff as presented. Can I have a second?
Second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded, and I don't know if we want to have any further discussion.
Do you want to know if people give any other little overviews for radio, or it's up to you guys?
That might be helpful. We didn't have any members of the public, just for the radio listening, members of the public attend our open work session. I haven't had any feedback. I think probably because this has been the curriculum for a while, and parents have been notified of what's in the curriculum, and they've had the opportunity to come in and talk to teachers and see. The only different we have is Dan Van Swearingen is going to be teaching in the high school this year. But other than that, I think the teachers have been pretty much the same for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if we want to have...
You want to do a little
like
overview?
Just a couple... Sure, we can do a couple... If teachers don't mind coming up for like a minute or two and just kind of doing the highlights.
Sounds good.
So anybody just listening?
It's the Joyce Burke Biggs Show. and her sidekicks.
It doesn't have to be long, but I think it's because I think if someone is... at all concerned over what's going to be instructed over a 3 or 4 day period, they can make an appointment.
Yep.
Stop in, email, call.
Okay, I'm Joyce Burke Biggs. I'm the elementary counselor, and for this bill, how we're understanding it, what we do at the elementary is the fourth grade and fifth grade teachers and myself, we cover puberty for preteens in our fourth and fifth grade classes. And then we also cover K-5 personal awareness, personal safety. And so we send letters out every time we have guest speakers or we have these lessons. And so all parents have the right and at any time to come up and look at our curriculum and what we teach. I think we have a good open policy at our school that we welcome parents to come in, ask us questions, see what we're doing, see what we have, and myself and maybe the other teachers here, I think we've had pretty positive results over the years.
Yeah, and I think over the years, we were talking last night too, but we've had people come in before and want to review things, and I guess that's the thing too, just to clarify about the bill, that the requirement of the bill is that... the board has to approve the curriculum materials and resources and the people teaching it. There has to be an option for parents to opt out of the sex ed component if they choose. And then anybody that is coming into a classroom also has to be approved and is still supervised by a classroom teacher, a certified teacher. Mm-hmm. So, for example, if we have Aaron Michael come in, the public health nurse, or we have Annette Wooten from WAVE, or...
Marlene
Cushing, retired public health nurse, come in to do some of the personal safety talks, then that needs to be approved, and that was discussed last night, too. And so I guess that's the things that are in here are things that have always been in place here. We've always sent notification letters. We've always allowed parents to review anything and to come in and talk to teachers that are presenting information. So we've not had, and we have had people come in over the years and want to discuss, and we've had very few opt out when they've looked at the information and they know what's coming.
They're so supportive of it.
Yeah. And as a district, we do think that it's very important to have the information and instruction.
We want our kids safe and healthy.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Missed day.
Doesn't have to be long. Sorry. You did a great job explaining everything last night. But no one from the public came, so.
Yeah. So I'm Joanne Day, and I teach health in eighth grade. And I teach a healthy relationships unit that is anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks long. And our focus really is on dating and standards and setting boundaries. We talk a lot about consent, rape, date rape, what to do if you are raped, refusal skills, communication skills, signs of a healthy relationship as well as an unhealthy relationship. And part of that unit is the human sexuality unit part, which is about 3 days, but we do male and female anatomy and the reproductive system, as well as sexually transmitted diseases and contraceptives. And I've always sent a letter home, so parents are well notified of what we'll be covering, and welcome to come in or email me. Parents ask me questions all the time, which is great, so.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Forward to the updated letter.
Nope, but I will get it.
We'll send it to him.
That sounds good. Okay.
All right.
Mr. B.
I am Dan Van Swerden, and this year I will be teaching the health unit in the high school. We cover, like the middle school, we cover healthy relationships and kind of progress to talking about sexual relationships. And then we talk about STDs and pregnancies and conception and condom use. And then we talk also about the law and how it can affect some of the students here. And I think it's pretty important that they know that. And then we also talk about, we have a little goal setting, a couple goal setting activities, and just to kind of get them to wrap their minds around how important of a decision being sexually active can be. So, question.
Is there a time when the girls and boys, are they all together?
For the majority of the unit, yes. But I think we discussed last night that there will be a day that we can break apart, and we'll have the females go with a female staff, and then the boys will stay with me and potentially Mr. Dormer, too. In the past, they've done it with Mr. Brawl and Mr. Dormer, so, yeah.
And middle school is together... All of it. Yep. Yeah. And elementary is separated for that particular component.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's one of the
puberty lessons. Yeah.
And it's one of the stated again that they are separated at certain times when they talk about girls stuff and certain boy stuff.
They have opportunities for that.
Did the board get the Aaron?
I did forward Aaron Michaels materials that she uses in the high school and what she has used in the high school in the past. With her, she had two PowerPoint presentations, one related to STDs and one related to contraceptives, yes, and pregnancy. So they're there for your information or anybody else's information.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that matter, too. So she's come in, since she's been here in town, she's come into the class as an expert, and we discussed last night, too. She comes into the eighth grade class and the high school class, and everybody felt that that was still a really important component to have that, so people know who she is as a resource in the community. Plus, with her background, that's part of what she does as a public health nurse. She knows a lot about STDs and can answer a lot of questions and provides good up-to-date information as well. So I think she's a great resource.
Yeah, very good. Just that slide was, if anything, we've talked about this slide was on the edge there. You know, it had some pretty good slides, but I think still all actually appropriate.
Yeah, there's visual information in it. Yep, that's part of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
absolutely.
It also is very much you saw it.
Well, and then for those that are listening, you know, that is what you just heard is the extreme highlights, where we spent 2 hours with staff really going over what they're instructing the kids, even though it's a very small portion of the health curriculum, trying to adhere to the new state law of what we as a board need to be doing, which is looking at all the material, watching the videos, talking to the staff that's going to be teaching it, and feeling comfortable as we move forward. So I felt after 2 hours, I certainly felt comfortable with what had been going on already and what their plans were for the school year. So,
and all those materials and resources are available for people if they want to look at them. They can come to any of the principals, any of the offices, and review the materials.
Even the videos, some of the videos that we found were online. I went to YouTube and watched them last night instead of, you know, a couple of DVDs that are used in the fourth and fifth grade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I easily found them on YouTube and watched them at home. So it was just fun. Anyway.
So come in and ask questions if people have questions.
Right.
We're here.
Any other comments or questions for staff? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone call the roll? Please.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Sandra Stevens.
Yes.
Cheryl Fio.
Yes.
Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we have the sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies. Our board policy 3270 requires us to approve any disposal. So miscellaneous Algebra 1 and 2 textbooks from copyright year 2002, approximately 60 of those, and also 2009 is the other copyright, and a quantity of 66, totaling 126 textbooks for disposal. So I'll make a motion to approve the disposal or sale of the listed inventory.
Second.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded.
Thank you, guys.
I believe math was few years ago, right, was through the rotation, so this is getting rid of books that are no longer used. So if you have any math junkies out there that would love a textbook, I'm sure we could get you one.
So get some mileage out of it.
Okay, any other discussion? Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll have a discussion on the school board vacancy. We have two seats up for election. One, Sandra, she is running. You'll see her name on the ballot, but sad news for the rest of us is that she's accepted a position in Oregon and will be leaving next month, right?
Correct.
Okay. So she will still be on the ballot, and our assumption would be is that you would be putting in a resignation after the election or before?
Probably after, huh?
I mean, it won't change the election results, was Debbie's explanation.
Okay.
Like, if people fill in the bubble, then.
Yeah. So there, for the public listening, after the election, we're anticipating that Sandra will be putting a letter of resignation and that we will then be advertising for her seat. That seat would happen for a year until next year in October when we have another election. So it would be a 1 year, because anytime you're appointed, you automatically have to go up for on the election ballot the following October, no matter whenever you're appointed in that previous year. So for those that might think, let's try a year out, this might be a good opportunity. So start thinking about it. And then Mara has agreed, you want to take it away? Agreed to be a write-in candidate.
I declared my intent to run as a write-in candidate.
Yay.
I won't be campaigning with any funds or anything. but yes, you have to fill in the bubble and spell my name correctly, similar to Lisa Murkowski's write-in campaign.
That's right.
And we are both skeets, so if you can get Murkowski pretty close, you can probably knock out mine.
Yes, so those listening, please write in Mara's name.
Yes, appreciate it.
And that will be for a 3-year term. So the write-in one will automatically be 3 years.
Yes, she does not have to go up for election next year.
Thank you, Mara.
Okay. Yes, thank you.
Very grateful.
Okay. Any other... I'll take additional comments from board members. We're sad to see you go, Sandra, but...
Yes, we are.
Sounds like Portland is calling you.
Yeah, sorry, go to.
Okay, future agenda items would be just... Oh sorry.
No future agenda items. If I can, Coach Matt Powick, I don't know if you've met, he has...
I don't
he
know.
Had some comments. Maybe he could push up for the next agenda. I don't
okay.
know if that's part. Is this a good time to do that? I know he missed the initial comments.
Yeah, he missed the beginning, but that, I guess so.
Can you ask
I don't
for
know.
Something
yeah.
for the next time?
Future
agenda?
Agenda?
Time? Yeah.
I actually wanted to just rail against sex ed.
Well, you're going to hurt
me. Too late.
So I'm Matt Powick. I'm the boys' middle school basketball coach. Jamie kind of stole my thunder a little bit when he talked about sixth grade travel. Just wanted to kind of throw my two cents in there, too, that hoping that we can kind of revisit that policy with our numbers down. It hasn't affected the boys' program quite as much, but I know the girls' program last year traveled with, I think, 10 kids, which is about the worst number you can travel with because it's not enough to field two teams, but it's enough kids that, you know, the bottom two or three kids don't get to play a whole lot, and they're the ones that should be playing more than anybody probably. And then you have to make decisions on whether you're going to play in the A bracket or the B bracket, that kind of stuff. So just kind of throwing my my two cents in it, and also making sure that you guys know I'm available for any questions you might have about, and this is, I think, my sixth year doing middle school basketball, so I've seen a few seasons and had number, you know, large numbers and small numbers, and been around the girls program enough to know how it's affected them over the years too. So if you have any questions, I'm more than available to answer them.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay.
Middle school basketball starts again September 28th.
Yeah. So I guess we need to put sixth grade travel on the future agenda items.
Is that a, I'm trying to remember, is that, it's a, I guess it would be a board policy versus an AR, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe it's the policy committee that needs to look at it before the board, or it's an existing policy. I guess it's a question.
We can review and then we can bring a recommendation.
I need to read it first.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that'll be on a future event agenda items. I guess we can't really discuss it anyway here. So, okay, I'll make a motion to adjourn then. Okay, motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Good evening.